Well, I really hope the words of that song got recorded properly. It's a wonderful song. We are told to comfort one another with psalms and songs. I could listen to that song all day long. Welcome back to the God School. We're in a season. We're in a about to enter in to what some might call the fall feast days of the Lord, being trumpets and atonement and tabernacles. These are feast days. An alternative translation are set times. And Paul tells us that these feast days of God foreshadowed Christ, that is, Christ was the substance which cast the shadows of these feast days. You who participate on a regular basis at the God School understand that this Feast of Trumpets was a foreshadowing of the redemption of the coming of the redemption of God's people to Himself through Jesus Christ. Two trumpets were blown, two silver trumpets were blown on that day. Two, because one was not adequate when talking of the coming of Jesus Christ. For first He came, born in swaddling clothes, typified in Isaiah, typified in Mark's gospel as the suffering servant. But His second coming, He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Next week, is the Feast of Trumpets on the Hebrew calendar. Because I won't speak to you between now and then, I would properly, in its right season, wish you Merry Christmas. The day is coming. And on that day, on that same day that He took upon Himself flesh and blood, and was born and became kinned with us on that very same day, Jesus will return. Is it this week, Don, you might ask? Could be. I'm not saying it is. I don't know. Even if I did know, in a parable in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talks about sending His servants into the land, and He equips them with you know, the trade of the land, that is money. And his instruction is, occupy till I come. And, you know, so what that means is to those of the God school, to those of the, you know, I hate hesitating, but, you know, we never know who's going to be listening. I wanted to say to the Church of Jesus Christ, more accurately, to those who belong to those who are a possession of the Lord, our instruction is to occupy till he comes. Now, I'm not teaching on the feast day this morning. I want to teach a little bit about the occupying till he come. If you're listening to me, at least if you're listening to me over the internet and not in heaven, you're still in this world. And Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. He adds, therefore, and because of this, you shall have tribulation. I want to begin this day, this morning, going to Psalm 37. If you want to turn there, fine. My hope is we're going to cover a wide breadth of Scripture this morning. But this is a message that we can and should be reminded of on a almost a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis. And Psalm 37 says, opens three times, saying in the first verse, fret not. And in the seventh verse, it says, fret not. And in the eighth verse, it says, fret not. But, Don, God didn't see what was going to be happening today. He couldn't see the chaos that is in the world, where we have wars and rumors of wars, and we have weapons taken up, brother against brother, and we have outbreaks of curious diseases. And what if I get one? And we have devastating natural events taking place, earthquakes. Don, there's a whole lot of... I want to get real religious here. There's a whole lot of shit going on, and I'm worried about it. God's word says, fret not. The financial prognosticators claiming gloom, despair, and agony. What about my retirement? God says, fret not. Well, how is it, Don, I can keep from fretting? God tells us. He says in the third verse, trust in the Lord. That is, lean upon Him. Well, who is this Lord? Well, He is the Lord of this book. He is the one who reveals Himself through what we call the Bible. He is God. He is the creator of the universes. And He gives us a way to keep from fretting. He says, trust in the Lord. Lean is the Hebrew word, with your whole weight in the Lord. And it says, so shall thou dwell in the land. And truly, you shall be fed. Fourth verse says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This Hebrew word translated here, delight, it means to be soft or pliable, as in clay. Another message that I have neglected to give is that those verses out of Jeremiah 18 that speaks of the potter's house, where it says the clay was marred in the sight of the potter, and he made it over again as seemeth good to him. God is working on us. And in order to do this, we must be pliable. We must acknowledge it's His hands that are on the clay. When it says, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart, man, that's in every Christian promise box there is. Here's the context. When you make the Lord your delight, when you operate with the understanding that His eye is on the clay, that His hands are on the clay, that He's in control of the wheel. And the multitude of promises that we have in God, in Jesus Christ. Are more than adequate. When we turn our attention on Him and His promises are more than adequate to be the central desire of our heart. Excuse me. Verse 5 says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Commit. This is a term out of the Hebrew with regard to the old camel trains, where the merchant would take his load on his back and put it onto the back of the camel, thereby taking it off of him and putting it on another. Commit your way unto the Lord. Your way. From getting out of bed in the morning to laying your head down at night. Commit. Turn it over to the Lord. We have in another psalm where it says, you know, your cares are His constant concern. That's also repeated in one of the epistles of Peter. God, revealing Himself to us through His Word, tells us that our cares, our ways, are His constant concern, and what He wants us to do is take our cares and commit them to Him. And He repeats, trust also in Him. And it says in the 7th verse, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. And I've don't know how many times have recommended that whenever you encounter this word patient or patiently in Scripture, it should be translated endurance. Deuteronomy 33 tells us that thy shoes shall be iron and brass. So, you know, this rest comes with endurance, not bedroom slippers, but iron and brass shoes. And we are to, with endurance, wait for Him. Now, this message coming from a few different places. You say, Don, I'm not a merchant. How can I roll off of my back what I don't have onto a camel's back, which I don't have? Let me put it in modern terms. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, first verse reads, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for you have fallen by your iniquity. The second verse gives us some instruction. take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all my iniquity and receive us graciously. So we will render, King James reads, calves of our lips. It's sacrifices of our lips. It's praises of our lips. Well, you know, Don, I find myself sometimes in situations where I really don't think the Lord deserves to be praised. Well, then, my best advice to you is stop thinking that way. Because the praise of God should be continually on our lips. But the point here is, how do you commit your way? Take with you words. And the burdens? Our iniquities. Notice I didn't say your iniquities. Because I'm in the same group that you are. Just a side note. From last week, I shared with you some of the physical problems I'm going through. I want to tell you that in the natural, I have not been completely made whole. In fact, I was having quite a bit of problems this morning. Not severe, not as severe as last week. And as I'm sitting here declaring God's word, I feel better right now than I have all morning, and praise God, praise God. But to commit our way unto the Lord, that is, take with you word. Now, these are some Old Testament passages. I want to bring you to a New Testament passage. If you open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, it says, the first verse, Jesus speaking. Now, he's about to go to Calvary. And the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of John are the last words that he is having with his disciples. And the first thing he says is, let not your heart be troubled. Fret not. Ye trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again I will come again. The source the words of Jesus Christ are the foundation for our hopeful looking for His second coming. He says, in my house, in my Father's house, are many mansions. If it were not so, He gives us an insider's view of eternity. Now, look, if He were just a man, the things He had to say were either obviously from some kind of nut, if He believed him, or some kind of con man who is just trying to fool the people. But based on the evidence of the resurrection of Christ, we give all validity to His words. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again . King James says, and receive you to myself. An alternative translation is, I will come again, and I shall take you along, shall take you along to my home, that where I am, there you may be also. Christ, in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, which is the true Lord's Prayer, He has many things to say, which, if you would take the time and spend time in this 17th chapter, you're going to get encouraged. But I want to continue on this theme of Christ's return. He says in the 24th verse, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am. I will take you along to my home, that they might behold my glory, which you have given me, Jesus gives credit to His Father for His glory. But He says in this prayer of us that we may be where He is, home in His Father's house. Now, I want to go back to the 14th chapter for a moment. That where I am, there ye may be also. And the fourth verse opens, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, loved the intrinsic truth, the consistent doubter, the intrinsic truth of the scriptures, the consistent doubter, Thomas, says unto him, Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. He didn't point to some other way to do this or don't do that. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, now I hope these words sink in. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Wow. Read on. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how is it you say then, show us the Father? Jesus gets a little testy right here. Not condemning, just testy. Believe you not that I am in the Father? And the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. What? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which we declare, who out of love gave himself for our sins, so great a love the world has never known and the world will never accept. And Jesus credits his Father, who is in him, with doing the works. And the church goes around all day saying, well, we know you're saved by faith, but now you better show me the works. The greatest that ever lived in history, Jesus, God and man, he gives his Father credit for doing the works. We're talking about a lot of different things today, but principally about, because it's that time, about the coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus, if you will. If you're taking notes, I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 has something to say about this. And he says in the 13th verse, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning brothers," I don't want you to be stupid. I don't want you to be ignorant. So I'm going to share some things with you concerning them which were are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we faith that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That is, with Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not, King James says, prevent. Proceed. That's why once in a while you really have to pay attention to how the meaning of words change. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. This is that second trumpet of the two trumpets blown on the Feast of Trumpets, or in the Hebrew, Rosh Hashanah. It is the civil new year. It is a new time that will take place. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Because of this, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Christ is coming back. He said he would. He said he would. There are further words of comfort. Written also to this Thessalonian church in a second letter, in the first chapter. In the 10th verse it says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, where is he going to be glorified? In his saints. The Ephesian letter says, in the ages to come, God is going to show off his exceeding richness and mercy towards us in the ages to come. When Christ comes again, a new age will take place. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that faith, Paul puts a parenthesis in here, because of our testimony, because our testimony among you was faith in that day. I don't ask you to faith my words. I'm trying to turn lights on God's word. Same as Paul. And he says, because of this also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. It doesn't say, and our God would find you worthy of this calling. What it says is, God would count you worthy. That God would judge you worthy. How are we as Christians worthy? Certainly not by our lives, not by our works. But we are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. We are made worthy by the life that Jesus Christ gave for us and to us. And the power of the gospel is that God not only places his life in us, but that he places us in Christ and God sees us through the glasses wherein he sees Jesus. Therefore, God counts us worthy and will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness . The Ephesians tells us what the good pleasure of God is. That is, that we be found in Christ according to God's will. And the work of faith with power. What is the work of faith? It is God calling him that is not as though he were, because of faith. And this is God's power. Only God can do this. And God is doing it to those men and women who are trusting in Him, who are delighting themselves in Him, who are committing their way with words unto the Lord. And the words are of the nature of all those promises that God has given us in His book. Each and every one are found in Christ. And we, being in Christ, have access and by faith can grab hold of those promises. And in that act of faith, the power of God is unleashed. And He counts us worthy. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and me too, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you might be glorified in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. On the Feast of Trumpets, when Christ shall come, to take us along home with Him. What a great day that will be. Is it this year? I already told you, I don't know. Perhaps some some extra or special attention should be given and time spent in the words in the Bible, in the Word of God, that your faith might, if it were possible, be even more strengthened. These are tough times. I don't deny. Chaos seems to be everywhere. I'm turning because I'm just reminded of something. This wasn't really going to be part of the message. I want to go to the book of Isaiah to close today. And Lord willing, we'll be back again. If the Lord doesn't come with you next week. But in the third chapter of Isaiah, chaos is described back then too, and God gives a word to Isaiah in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter, where he says, "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, in the midst of that chaos." God remembers his children. Not righteous by your works, but righteous by faith, which is the gospel. And those of you who are trusting God, who are faithing his word, though who are acting on God's promises with confidence, God says, whom God calls righteous, he says to those, it shall be well with you. Praise God. And that's the God School for today.